This is a production of JetBlip.com. Special thanks to USJet AA and Claire for their support.
Hi, everyone. This is Jessica Livingston. I was a Hokkaido ALT from 2003 to 2006. And now I'm the executive director of USJet AA, which is headquartered in Washington, D.C., but I live in Denver and I'm part of the Rocky Mountain Jet AA chapter. And I have Stephen Horowitz with me. He was an Aichi Jet from 92 to 94. He's currently in DC, so he's a member of the Jet AA DC chapter. He is the producer of the Jetosphere and also the founder of JetWit.com. You may or may not know that there's an independent nonprofit organization dedicated to USJet alumni, and that is USJet AA. And we serve the network of nearly 40,000 Jet alumni in the United States. I'm doing a podcast mini series where I am sharing interesting components of the US-Japan community that I intersect with through my day job of directing USJet AA. And today I have pulled in Mayumi Uejime Carr, who is the president of Table for Two, and also Miwako Felix, who is the partnership development and management person who is based in DC. So I wanted to ask Mayumi to just introduce herself. Tell us where you're from in Japan, first of all, Mayumi.
Hi, everybody. I'm Mayumi, and now I'm joining from San Diego, but I'm originally from Tokyo. I grew up in Tokyo, and also I spent like for 6 years in Kobe.
Perfect. And then Miwako, where are you from in Japan?
Hello, everyone. I'm from Tokyo. And I'm currently based in the Washington, D.C. area.
Okay, great. So Mayumi, I'm hoping you can introduce Table for Two and just explain a little bit about what it is and what its mission is.
Table for Two is a nonprofit organization which started in Japan in 2007 and came to the U.S. in 2010 and became globally. So our mission is to tackle global hunger and like obesity issues. So about 1 billion people don't have enough food. On the other hand, like about 2 billion people have some health issues caused by unhealthy eating. So we're trying to solve these big food-related issues. There are many solutions, but our solution is one is to provide healthy school meals to children in need. And second is we promote healthy eating through our food education program.
That's a really big job.
Yes, that sounds like a big, you know, challenge. But, you know, little by little, we can, you know, make the world a little healthier, you know, better.
Yeah. So what programs does Table for Two run to help to help offset the hunger issue and the food education issue?
Mm-hmm. So we have a few programs and campaigns. So one to provide healthy school meals, which is our original program, is called Table for Two program. So in the US, there's a dating site called Table for Two. Some people think this is like, oh, dating app, you know, but not. And this is like a, you know, lovely, you know, program. So how it works, we partner with any place selling food, like corporate cafeterias, restaurants, school cafeterias, and they sell like healthy items at Table for Two meals. And 25 cents from the proceeds will be donated to provide one school meal to a child in need. So it's like you can share a table. So that's the original program.
But can I ask a question about that? Is that available anywhere in the US now? Like if I knew a corporation here in Denver that wanted to institute that and I could convince them to do that?
Oh, we can implement this program in the US. So far, some corporations implement at their cafeterias or even like vending machines. And but we have a like kind of campaigns like you know, more like nationwide, so that's sometimes available. But yeah, that program can be implemented anywhere in the world.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so that's the original Table for Two program, and also to provide healthy school meals, we have the campaign you might have heard, which is Onigiri Action. change the world with onigiri, Japanese rice ball. I think you know or know.
I think a lot of Jets love that program because they love onigiri. And so any chance to make onigiri and eat onigiri and feel good about it is great.
Yeah. So yeah, this is an annual fall campaign. The first year was in 2015. We just finished the 8th one. And it's about like a month and a half. And then people take a photo of onigiri and then post on their own social media with hashtag onigiri action, or you can post on our campaign website. So then each onigiri photo can bring 5 school meals to children in need around the world. So we support children in East Africa. And also here in the US, we support some schools to have healthier school meals. And
that's a really, really fun program. I've been involved with that with my local Japan America Society and also my local JET chapter. And it's, we've found so many ways to make it fun. We've done themed onigiri. So we'll do onigiri that have a Halloween theme because it happens in the fall, but it's a really fun excuse to get a bunch of people together and make food and take silly pictures and eat your food and feel really good about what you've done. So this is a favorite.
Yeah, sometimes people make a onigiri photo frame so people can be onigiri. Or it's a kind of casual, you know, fun campaign. So people make a like an onigiri shape or with their hands. Or so also they can make cute, kawaii onigiri. That's very popular in the US too.
I attended an event in New York a few years ago and I was able to bring my children. And it was really, they had such a good time. I really appreciated that.
Yeah, I remember like in New York, the chapter had a big event like by collaborating with like local organizations, like, I don't know, looks like many people, like, I don't know, 50 to 100 people got together and they enjoyed making onigiri and joined this action. Another core program to promote healthy eating, we have a nutrition, like food education program. It's called Wa Shokuiku. It's a combination of two Japanese words you probably all know. Washoku means Japanese food. What shokuiku means food education. So we combine these words. And so this one, we teach kids, sometimes to adults, like how to eat healthy through Japanese food angle. We teach how to make like simple Japanese food by using the ingredients available at regular grocery stores. And then we also teach about the concept of balanced meal using 5 colors, or itadakimasu concept, like appreciation toward food, or mottainai. We mottainai grammar, like talk about food waste and what you can do not to waste. So that's our food education program.
I love that because it brings in these really sort of core elements of Japanese culture and Japanese thinking, and it weaves it into the, you know, the food culture itself. In my household, I have a couple of kids and we say itadakimasu before we eat. Oh, nice. So it's something that we've instituted, and I love that we're able to pass that, you know, that culture on and help spread that culture.
We have in-person programs and online program and then online on-demand course. Or hybrid means people get together over there, but we teach online. So we have different programs in person. We do mainly in Washington, D.C., Virginia, like in that Maryland, that area, and then Boston, California, like San Diego, Los Angeles. And then maybe Miyako, you want to share about what you do in D.C.?
Yes. So we provide the Washokuiku programs to mainly public schools in DC and also in the DC area. And we work with the after program provider organizations. So we go in there for after school program and teach them Washokuiku. We have like a course of 7 lessons, 8 lessons. And each lesson has a theme like rice, or the food from the sea, or soy. And then also we go to schools during their regular school hours to teach them during their class hour, the Washokuiku. And we also, in the DC area, we work with local organizations to participate in some local events. Like, for example, we are going to do some edamame champ, which we're going to talk about later, at Sakura Matsuri this year again. So that's how we've been active in the DC area.
This is really interesting. So the Washoku Iku program is mainly for schools, and you guys, it sounds like you all work mostly with public schools.
Yes, well, we work with private schools sometimes too, but on a regular basis, we mainly work with the public schools.
So this is a really great avenue for JET alums that are in education and have these types of after school programs. It's a way for them to be able to pull some Japanese culture into their schools and their classrooms, which is really, I mean, you know, all JET alums tend to have this passion for Japan and try and find ways to thread it into their professional and personal lives. So Mayumi or Miwako, if there's a parent that's interested in bringing this to their child's school, how would they go about doing that?
First, they can talk about this program at the school, maybe to the teachers or, you know, principal, like, or after school program. And another way, I would say more like event basis, there are like many, you know, events at schools, like for families, like, you know, culture night, you know, that kind of thing, maybe onigiri action and edamame champ, that they can easily organize at, you know, events. And we do have, actually, we were invited to one of the school to that kind of event, but that's, you know, parents, you know, alumni, they can organize by themselves. So that's
a great idea. A lot of schools have these international nights or international festivals at their school. Mm-hmm. And this is a really easy way and a great way to bring a Japanese cultural element into that festival. I hadn't thought of that before. And it's sort of right? It's just a one-off, right? So it's not a huge commitment.
That's right. So they could host those independent workshops like Enamame Champo, Onigiri Action. But if they want to make more like a regular course of Washoku Iku, they could also be certified as the Washoku Iku instructor. There's a workshop that curriculum that they can go through online that we offer. They can go through that and then they can work with our curriculum development lead. It can be all done online, but they could be equipped with all the knowledge and the material to have this, the appropriate Washoku Iku program. If they want to run it at their local school, there's a way to do so.
So if I am a JET alum and a parent, or I know other parents who wanted to do this, they could just go online and set up and become a Washoku instructor?
If there's a procedure, if there's a course of that they have to follow, maybe it might take a week or so to learn about the programs and how to become an instructor and the specific instructions to teach certain lesson. But after they complete it, yes, they're ready to go.
This is great because there's a really wide breadth of ways that you can be involved. So if you just want to do a one-off type thing, then you can do something like an international night or just like one event. But if you want to be, you know, involved in a more sustained way, then you can take this course and become a Washoku Iku instructor. So I love that there's a really wide variety of levels that you can be involved in if you want to bring this element into your child's school.
Can I ask another question? Let's say I'm going to the head of the PTA at my school, mm-hmm. or to the principal, and they don't know anything about Japan. They've never been to another country. You know, it's just not the kind of thing they think about. And I want to say, hey, I've got this great program that I think will be good. What's a good way to explain it to them?
I think easy one to introduce, maybe, you know, this onigiri action, you know. There's like a cool campaign that students and parents, everybody can get involved, and then they can help to bring school meals to children in need around the world. And for that campaign, they can learn something, you know, they can make actual, you know, Japanese food. And do you know sushi? And everybody's like, yeah, I love sushi. And then do you know onigiri? No. But, you know, yeah, we can, you know, everybody can learn how to make onigiri, which is very popular in Japan, easy to make, could be great snack for kids. And then they can make a difference together as a whole school.
Yeah, I can use that. Thanks. I'm going to try that out on my school.
But there's also another approach. You can emphasize on the food education, the health aspect, so they can kind of put it into their health education budget, or they can consider this as the part of their health education. That's actually one of the teachers who was interested in introducing our program to her principal. That's how she approached it.
That sounds like a really healthy approach to getting people on board with this. Thanks. Yeah. That's really helpful.
That's brilliant, because I think a lot of times you have to know how to approach your school too.
Right. What's their priority is depends on their priority.
Yeah.
If you want to emphasize on the cultural aspect, that could work. But if you want to emphasize on health issue aspect, that could work too.
So for the food education program, we have a fun spring campaign called Edamame Champ. That's a spring campaign we actually just started from March 12th to May 21st this year. So this is a campaign focusing on edamame and soybeans. And do you know edamame is a baby soybeans, by the way?
I didn't know they were baby soybeans.
I didn't know that
regular
either.
Soybeans. They were adult soybeans.
That's why they're so cute, I guess.
So edamame is like, 2-month-old baby soybean that turned into soy, and the dry soybean that turned into tofu, soy sauce, so many things. It's like kind of
miso.
Great. Yeah, miso. And we focus on this special beans and then talk about that. And also it includes a fun chopsticks challenge using edamame in a minute, how many edamame you can pick and move. Based on the number of participants, our partner organization donate to provide our food education program to children in need. So this is a campaign to kind of promote healthy eating through edamame soy, but also it helps to bring our food education to program to more children.
I'm sorry, I'm still stuck on the fact that edamame are baby soybeans. I feel like I'm like a grown adult. My whole life, I thought those were just the soybeans. I had no idea they were the babies.
I know.
Yeah.
And edamame is still fresh and young and soft and tender. You can just boil it and eat it. That's why we call it baby soy. But when it's left in the field till for the long time, it gets dry and mature, and that's daizu. We call it daizu. We call them differently.
Yeah, I knew that you called it.
I did not know any of this.
So I knew that there was daizu and edamame, right? Like I knew the difference.
Right.
I guess I never thought about it before. I just figured like daizu is what you make like tofu and miso out of, and then edamame is what you eat fresh.
Right.
And I didn't really think about the meaning. Right. I didn't think about like the fact that there were two different words, and obviously they have different, there's a reason for being two different words, you know?
So that kind of stuff we talk about in the Edamame Champ workshop.
Yeah.
Those little things that people don't really even think about.
Yeah. I've never sat and thought deeply about soybeans before. So the other thing I wanted to talk about is how JET alumni and JET chapters have been involved with Table for Two in the past. What things have you done with JET alums in the past?
They help to spread onigiri action all over the US, and we had a chance to present a program at the annual conference of JET alumni.
Oh, the JET AA USA NatCon,
probably. Yeah. And then also we've done a couple of like online, like Edamame Champ events, Miyoko organized, and do you want to share?
Yes, especially during the pandemic. Well, it's not over, but US JET AA hosted a couple of workshops with us. And one was Onigiri Action, and the other one was Edamame Champ online. So US JET AA members all gathered online and we made onigiri together, or ramen, I think, miso ramen together.
Using daizu.
This chopsticks challenge really attract, you know, so many people are very excited to...
People love that. They have such a good time doing that.
Yeah. Somehow, like, just kids to adult, they're just so into, like, so focused, you know, for a minute.
So can you talk about that part of the Edamame Championship, the chopstick challenge, for a second?
At many events, we have this chopsticks challenge as part of Edamame Champ events. By the way, that was can be organized by anybody, you know, by ourselves, but, you know, JET alumni chapters can organize that event. And then they do like 1 minute chopsticks challenge, that how many edamame you can pick and move. And then we select winners from each like small event. And then we will invite those winners to our final championship, which will be held online. This year on May 21st, it's going to be a Zoom event, but the winners of like each event get together and then do the final championship. And then we have a champion belt. So the champion can get the champion belt. And so it's, people were very serious. And at the final championship is also fun. Yeah,
I can see people getting really, really into this. So you've got Onigiri Action and the Edamame Champ. And those two stick out to me because they are, first of all, I know you have online materials to run these events. So you can go to the Table for Two website and basically download a playbook that tells you exactly how to run one of these events. Mm-hmm. And it has everything in there, if I remember correctly, from promotional materials to rules of how to do things, where to post things, all of that information. Miwako, am I missing anything major that's in there?
No, you covered it all. But we have also fun little things that you can play with. Like we have,
edamame megane.
Glasses you can print out with in shape of edamame, but it's glasses. We also have nice timer available on the website, which you can use for your chopsticks competition with mame song on the back. So it's really
great.
Please check it out. It's
fun. So there's these little kind of resources that you can also use to run your events.
Right.
That's great. This is a really easy thing for JET AA chapters to have. It's content that they can provide their members. So they can really easily put together an event. You all have done all of the hard work for them, really. So they just have to pick it up and pick a date and make it happen. And if there are individual JET alums that want to run it on their own, they can do it as well. So you don't have to be part of a JET AA chapter to run this event. You can just be any old person, a JET alum or a not JET alum, and have interest in this and be able to go to the website, download it all, and just get together with friends.
There's a link on the website that you can register your organization. So you can just, meaning like you can register yourself, you can also register the result of your competition so that you can be a part of the nationwide championship, the final. When you have your own local event, you can register your event and the score of the chopsticks competition online so that we would know that you had the event and we can invite the winner of the event to our final championship.
So yeah, so if you want to run an event in your local area, if you register at Table for Two, then that basically feeds your information into your system so you all can capture all of the activity going on everywhere. As well as allow the winners of that particular competition to participate in the final,
exactly.
In the final rounds. Okay. And there have been lots of different ways that people have done this. Like people have done total virtual events that have been totally virtual, which of course I'm sure happened a lot during the pandemic, but now people are getting back to more in-person events. So you can run this event in person if you want to, you know, if you're a JET AA chapter and you want to rent out a venue or get a venue and bring everybody there, you can do that. But we had also talked about sort of a hybrid version, which is if people want to sort of have smaller gatherings at their homes or several different homes, especially if your chapter is maybe based in an area where your JET alums are really spread out, like the Rocky Mountain chapter that I'm a part of is like that. We cover Wyoming, New Mexico, Utah, and Colorado. Wow. That's a really big geographical area, right? So, and it takes a long time to drive from maybe like, you know, New Mexico up to Denver. So this is a way that people, if you were in New Mexico or in Wyoming and you're a JET alum and you want to get some people together at your home, you could host an Edamame Champ or Onigiri Action event there. And then you could even sort of coordinate it so that all of these events happened at the same time. So maybe there was one in Taos, New Mexico, and one in Laramie, Wyoming, or whatever. Everybody could do these at the same time and then zoom in to a centralized place so that all of your kind of subchapter areas or all of your outlying areas are still, it's a way for them to be able to connect into the sort of to the home-based chapter and do an event that allows everybody to interact together, even though they're farther away geographically. That's really great for some of
that
our-
sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think that would be fantastic for some of our larger chapters that are spread out. So to wrap this all up, I would just like to point out that Table for Two is looking for volunteers and instructors for their Washoku Iku program, specifically in Boston, New York, and DC on the East Coast. And then over towards the West Coast, they're looking for LA and San Diego locations. And JET alums are a great match for this because of our experience and our understanding of Japanese culture and Japanese food culture. And most of us have spent some time in a classroom and understand how to present and interact with children of all ages. This is a really wonderful opportunity for JET chapters and individual JETs to be able to run a program in their local area that's already set up for them. And this is one way that USJETEA can help connect chapters to content that allows them to create programs that help them stay connected with Japan and do good in the world. In today's show notes, I will include contact information for Table for Two if you would like to get in touch with them. We also have recently posted two positions for Table for Two on the USJETEA jobs board, so you can find that information there. We'll include the websites for Table for Two and their programs and resources for downloading materials for Edamame Champ and Onigiri Action. And you can also find the USJETEA website in today's show notes as well. All right, I hope this inspires and motivates some JETEA chapters and JET alums to get together and run a Table for Two event. Table for Two has made it very easy to have a good time with friends while you are doing some good in the world. Thanks to Stephen Horowitz and JETWIT Productions for letting me hijack this podcast space. If you're not already a registered member of USJETEA, I encourage you to become one on our website, www.usjeta.org. Our motto is building community one JET at a time. You are part of that community, and JETEA is your post-JET vehicle to remaining an engaged participant in the US-Japan relationship. So come along for the ride.
USJETEA is a 501c3 nonprofit organization that serves the network of nearly 40,000 JET alumni in the USA. USJETEA supports the JET alumni community and strengthens the US-Japan relationship via educational, cultural, and intellectual programs that serve the alumni network.
That sounds important. When I grow up, I want to be a JET alum.
Thank you for listening to the JETosphere podcast, a production of JETWIT.com. Special thanks to USJETEA and Claire for their support.